His word. I'd like to just look really at that final verse shortly, the verses 24 and 25, but this is a narrative. It's long, but it's interesting. It's a potted history of how the people of God, they wavered this way and that way. Their whole journey is an up and it's a down. The people sin greatly. They reject their king, the perfect king, the only perfect king that there's ever been, the Lord God Almighty. And the people in jealousy, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, foolishly, they reject God as their king. They'll regret it, but there's a lesson even there. Sometimes we pray for the wrong things. We plead like a spoiled child. We won't give in. I must have this. And the Lord says, that's not my will. But in his kindness, he's given us free will. And sometimes he says, okay, go on then. You have it. In his mercy and kindness, he gives us what we've asked for. Because we haven't asked if it was the will of God. It wasn't the will of God. So in chapter 11, Samuel anoints Saul to be king. He's chosen. He will become the king of Israel. And Samuel's life draws to a close. He's weary of them, weary of their complainings. How common that was amongst the children of Israel. But before he leaves the scene with a degree of pathos and drama, he gathers them together and he says in verse 7, stand still, just you listen to me. I'm going to reason with you. Well, that's the Lord's way, isn't it? To reason, to plead. He's going to put the facts before them. Verse 7, he puts before them all the righteous acts of the Lord. They'll remember that. In times to come, they'll have kings that won't be righteous. But the Lord was righteous, and he always ruled in righteousness. He does in all of our lives. You have him. May I have him to rule over my life. Stand still, and let me plead with you, reason with you. Well, he reminds them again in verse 9, just to go quickly, of the times that they forgot the Lord. Do you know the question that I get asked most often is about prayer? We come to a prayer meeting tonight. Pastor, I struggle with prayer. My prayer life is not as it should be. Well, here's one of the problems. Verse 9. They forgot the Lord. Do we forget to pray? Do we not make it our priority? Forgetting to pray. Well, verse 10, they suddenly remember because they're in a spot of bother. Verse 10, they cry unto the Lord and they say, we've sinned, we're in problems. And the reason we're in problems is because we haven't prayed and we've left the Lord. That's the second problem of prayer. We forget, we stray, we wander. And now in a time of crisis, we call on the Lord. And of course, the Lord, all the way through this chapter, he shows he's a covenant-keeping God. He keeps his promises. And yet again, he delivers them. Verse 11. And he brings them to a position where they dwell safely. They have security. Once more, the roller coaster goes up again. Well, they plead for a king. The Lord gives them this king. But even then, even when they go their own way, the Lord still is a covenant-keeping God. He still says, I'll make a covenant with your new king. Verse 15, if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord and rebel against the commandment of the Lord, the hand of the Lord shall be against you. You see, there's always this conditional promise That's the way the Lord deals with us. You obey, you fear me, you follow in my footsteps, you listen to me, and there'll be blessing. But if you don't, there won't. And so there is a salutary lesson for us. Will we disobey the Lord? The verse that really stands out to me here is Samuel speaking to himself. Look down at verse 23. Moreover, as for me, he was the judge that was usurped by a king. Nation of Israel was to be ruled by godly laws. They didn't need an earthly king. Now he's been usurped, but still he says these quite profound words, God forbid that I, Samuel, in my latter years with grey hair, should sin against the Lord in not praying for you. But they're not worthy of prayer. They've been so unfaithful. And yet Samuel calls it a sin not to pray. I find that very searching. If we don't pray as a church, if we don't pray as individuals, it is sin. Prayer is breathing to God, words and desires from the heart. If we don't do that, according to Samuel, he is sinning. As for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in not praying, in stopping praying for you. Intercessory prayer. We've got people to pray for tonight. Unbelievers. People that still haven't professed faith. We don't know where they stand. The nation of Israel, they were full of unbelief. Samuel was to pray for them. Under their new king, Saul, there would be trouble ahead, but Samuel would pray for them. He says five things, just briefly. He says that he is to fear the Lord, and they are to fear the Lord. Verse 24, that's the beginning of prayer. You can't pray if you don't respect God. God won't hear the prayers of those that are casual, those that are insincere, those who are not importunate in prayer, persistent. We must fear. He says, verse 24, we must serve him. Your life must match your words. There won't be answers to prayer if it doesn't. That's hypocrisy. And then we must be girded by truth, fear the Lord, serve him in truth. Integrity is to be our belt to guide us, to act like a girdle, the girdle of truth to drive us. Not whim, not fancy, but the word of God, that's to drive us, that's to propel us forward and to guide us. And then we're to consider when we come to pray. How can we pray? We pray because God has answered in the past. And when we've prayed, how great things he has done for you. Verse 24. That's why we pray. Because the Lord has heard before. And he bids us to pray. And he tells us through Samuel that it's sin if we don't pray. And then there's the warning. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both ye and your king. What sobering lessons just in those final verses from Samuel's address to the people. It's sin not to pray. Always remember that. We should pray willingly, with a heart and a desire. But remember the negative. If we don't pray, if we don't gather together in the prayer meeting, if we don't come with fear, serving the Lord with truth, considering past blessings, then solemn warning. Solemn warning, if you carry on in wickedness, you won't have the blessing of God and there won't be help. Well, let's come tonight with fervent prayer gathering all the people and the situations and the missionaries and the persecuted and this church and the children and the town and the nation. We've got so much to pray for. We pray because we consider how great things he has done for every one of us and together. Well, may the Lord help those who will lead us shortly and those that will pray quietly. Let's have our second hymn tonight. Hymn number 399. Hymn of William Cooper. What various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat. Yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? 390.